Hi, friends. My name is Tracy, and I'm so glad you joined us for this episode of the Abundant Living Podcast. This is your podcast where you can discover how to better serve Christ, create great friendships with like-minded ladies, and live a more abundant Christian life. Before we dive in, remember you can find podcasts like this and so much more on our website at ChristianLadiesFellowship.com. While learning more about this unique ministry, you can also read articles, find resources like books and music, sign up to get helpful devotions delivered right to your inbox, and click the link to join the conversation in our Facebook group. Thank you for joining me today for episode 91 of the Abundant Living Podcast. I'm your host, Tracy Burns. I'm excited that you're here with me today on this final episode for season 5. It's hard to believe we're here only 9 episodes away from 100. Maybe we'll have a big digital party or something like that when the time comes. But I'm excited today because I brought you a special guest, not a co-host, not a color commentary, but an actual guest today. So I have my good friend and my pastor's wife, Mrs. Heather Neal.
Good morning, ladies.
And she's going to give us some great wisdom. I actually put out some feelers to some friends and asked for some questions to ask her. So this is actually a Q&A episode. I know that I enjoy Q&As. The best part about Q&As is when you have the questions ahead of time and you're not put on the spot, because some of the questions on our list were very interesting.
There were some doozies. I need to start out with saying, first of all, Sarah Martinez was not my favorite college student, and Danielle is not cool. And that answered some of the questions right away. Those were the two most important questions I had to answer today.
One of my favorite ones was why you have so many cats.
Cats are amazing. I love my cats.
You're a cat lady?
I'm a cat lady. I'm not a crazy cat lady, just a cat lady.
Like, as long as I've known you, you'll get dogs because your husband likes dogs.
Yeah.
And the dogs don't make it very long.
They don't. I've tried so many times through the years to be that person for my kids, to love dogs and let them have that buddy for life. And I've just turned out 3 girls that are cat people too.
So see, you created little mini-me's.
Every time one leaves home, I go get a cat to replace her. So
one of your cats is a boy cat and he's got a lot of personality now. So you kind of got that like dog cat.
That is true.
Yeah.
He is an interesting one. Yeah. So.
Okay. I'm going to ask my question, and this is great wisdom that you're going to have to dig deep for. Where do you like to go out to eat? If you can pick any place, where would you pick?
All right. So I'm going to tell you a secret, but you cannot tell Pastor.
You know he's going to listen to this.
I do not like Taco Bell.
So when you guys buy gift cards for Pastor or for their anniversary that are Taco Bell gift cards, just know that they're all going into Pastor's wallet.
There are a few church members that will secretly hand me gift cards and say, this is just for you. So yes, I love Asian food. I love anything Chinese. And I'm a big Olive Garden fan, but aren't all women?
Yes.
So those are probably 2 of my favorite places.
My dad even said that on Sunday, there was a group of the older people going out to eat. And he'll only go if there's other men going. And so I guess he asked whoever it was, like, where are you guys going? And they decided they usually go to Cracker Barrel, but it gets too loud in Cracker Barrel. Mm-hmm. So this time they're going to Olive Garden. And my dad goes, that's where the ladies go.
It is. I mean, I've met a few men that like it. My husband will go there. He says it's okay. He'll go there for me. But if I ever have the choice, most of my ladies' luncheon meetings yes. are at Olive Garden. So
I love that chicken gnocchi. I could eat it every single day. And we won't even get started about the breadsticks.
I just fill up on salad and breadsticks and take my meal home for the next day. So it's a 2-for-1. So,
oh, okay. You're like me in the fact that you don't love to cook. Like, I'll cook because I have to, but I don't enjoy it.
No, I can keep people alive with my cooking, but they're not going to be asking for more.
Yes. So. I cook more now because I need to do so for my health, but that is the last thing in my day that I want to do. If I was ever independently wealthy, the first thing I would hire is a chef.
Yes, I would be very healthy because I would say cook healthy dinners.
Yes.
I just don't personally want to cook yes. healthy dinners.
Somebody actually asked you if you had a favorite crock pot meal.
Yes, I love crock pot meals. Somebody gave me an Instapot not too long ago, but I'm still learning how to use the Instapot. But I grew up on crock pot meals. My favorite would have to be roast.
Oh, yeah.
Just putting a roast on and it falling apart when you go to eat it with Pinterest.
Yes.
I mean, I've learned how to make so many different things. I have much more energy in the morning to cook and dice and prep and put something in a crock pot than when I get home at the end of the day. So
yes,
usually if I put a crock pot meal on, that means we're eating at home that night. Yes. If not, there's a 50-50 chance. So
somebody got me an Instant Pot. Oh, my husband bought me one like a few years ago, and it is a learning curve.
Yes.
But you do all kinds of stuff in that. Like mm-hmm. I can do hard boiled eggs in there, rice. It's a great thing. And it's good for those of us that would rather not cook. So, and don't have money for a chef, unfortunately. There's a lot of serious questions on here, but there's some really good, like, practical stuff. And I think one of the ones that probably is a hard one to answer is, how do you fit in at a new church? Whether you're a church member, like say you just relocated, you're new at church, or maybe your husband took a job in a church. Do you have any tips for that person trying to fit in?
I would say, and I've talked to, you know, many ladies through the years that have come here, and the big thing is getting involved right away. We all know that when you work with somebody and you serve with somebody, you really build relationships and connections. Mm-hmm. As a new lady coming in, I know you may be shy, or maybe you're not, maybe you're outgoing, but you can only see people at church for a few minutes before the service, a few minutes after the service. Usually we're, you know, running and hustling about and going to different meetings. And if you can come to the different things that the church offers, if there's ladies meetings, if there's a Saturday soul winning time, maybe you're not comfortable with going out soul winning, but just go and be somebody's partner. Mm-hmm. And those are the times that you really can get to know ladies on a more personal level. And then obviously the more relationships you have, the more you're going to feel involved. Just be at everything you can be at. A lot of times you're shy, but a lot of the older church members are shy too. So put yourself in positions where you can get to know somebody on a little bit more one-on-one or smaller group setting. Obviously starting in your Sunday school, be very involved in what your Sunday school class does. But that would probably be the number one tip that I would have.
I know when I first moved here, I bothered you a lot. I actually got to know people working alongside of them.
Right.
Doing stuff like decorating, painting stuff for an event, or, you know.
Just volunteer. Yes.
Another question that came in was how to make newer members feel welcome. And is there anything specific that those of us that are already members can do? Or is there something that we can say or ways that we can make them feel a part of the church?
I think talking to them is the first step. Stepping outside of our boxes, our comfort zones. It can be intimidating to walk up to somebody you've never talked to before and put yourself out there and start asking questions, but put yourself in their shoes. You know everybody mostly in that room, and they walk into a room where they know nobody. Mm-hmm. So I think making them feel at home, maybe you just have a few casual questions that are your go-to questions when you meet somebody new. But I think the key to this, honestly, is listening. I know I made this mistake for years of being so nervous about talking to somebody that I didn't know, that while they were answering my question, all I was doing is thinking about what am I going to ask them next, that I wasn't listening to what their question was. So listen when they're talking to you in your introductions. You know, one of the things I usually do is I introduce myself and then I ask them what their name is. I ask, did somebody invite them? How did they hear of our church? Listen to what they say and then ask more questions about what their answer was. For example, maybe someone mentions, well, I'm in town because, or I just moved here because my mom is sick. Well, instead of saying, well, how long are you going to be here? Or going into the general questions, ask them about their mom. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. What's wrong with her? Or can we pray for her? Really listening to what they say and then remembering it. I have a 3x5 card in my Bible. And whenever I meet someone new that's a visitor, I write their name down.
That's a good idea.
Because
I'm so bad with names.
I can't remember your name, Tracy, half the time. So next week, because you think, oh, I'll remember that name, you're not going to remember it. If you go up to them and say, hey, Tracy, it was nice to see you again. How much weight is that going to hold to them that you remembered their name? But I do. I'll go up to someone and say, oh, it's good to see you again, Tracy. We met last week. I'm Heather. I don't know if you remember, but I'm glad to have you back. But listening, and then the next time, just making it personal. There's a lot of ladies in the church now that I remember when they first came, and I just really looked for them, ask them to sit with you. Having a place to sit and not sitting by yourself is a big deal too. And then start building your relationship at church, and then it's easier to say, hey, do you want to go have lunch sometime? Or, you know, we're having this ladies meeting. Why don't you come and sit with me? Those are all good things that we can do to help newer people that are coming in.
I think it's such a good advice in the fact that those of us that are busy in the church that are working, we get busy, like head down, focused on our ministry, which there's nothing wrong with being focused and doing a great job in your ministry, but don't forget to still be that friendly person, to still be that person that reaches out. Because there's people that I'll talk to and say, you know, so-and-so, they sit by so-and-so. And they're like, I don't know. It's no fault of theirs. They're busy head down working in their ministry. But I feel like you're missing out on getting to know your newer church family members.
Right. We should come with the mindset to look for people. Mm. Look not only for new people, but people maybe you've seen for 10 years sitting on that pew, but you don't really know them.
Right.
We should get to know everybody. Our church, I think, is great at that. But there's always room for improvement. Yeah. So when you walk into our church, it's buzzing. You know, everybody's mm-hmm. talking to everybody. But look for that one lady that's sitting over there that no one's talking to.
Right.
Just looking for people that have needs and broadening your friendships and your relationships. It'll be a blessing to you as well as to that person.
I think sometimes you think, well, they need me, but you might need them. You just don't know it yet.
Yeah, that's what usually ends up happening. Yes. You try to be a blessing to them, but they end up blessing you a whole lot more.
That being said, you know, there's a lot of moving parts in our church, and even in smaller churches, growing up in the church that my parents started when I was 11, we were busy in the church work and there was all kinds of people, all kinds of personalities. But how do you keep track of everybody's needs and their struggles and what they're interested in a busy church like that?
I would say here, another key, and I think I mentioned this before, is really listening. Hmm. You know, at the beginning of every service, pastor will mention specific prayer requests that maybe are important for that week. Mm-hmm. Someone's having surgery or someone's family member's in the hospital or they're waiting on test results. I always make sure I listen and make mental notes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I even write them down if I'm afraid I'm going to forget them. Again, I have that little notebook, you know, and I'll write them in my booklet for the week. But listening to what pastor says, listening when you talk to people, either in your phone, make a note or write it down. So when you leave church, you can go back and look at all those things that you have. Also, we have the weekly prayer ministry and the prayer page that goes out, looking for updates on those and really just taking notes and then following up. Once you follow up with something once or twice, you'll remember it.
Right.
If pastor said someone's having surgery on Wednesday, well, then Tuesday night, I'm going to text them, hey, we know your surgery is tomorrow. We're praying for you. We love you. Let me know if you need anything. Mm-hmm. Then give them a day or two on Friday. How are you doing? But just really trying to listen and see what people's needs are and then just following up.
I think that means a lot too when somebody opens up and tells you a need. There's a lady at church that months ago, she asked me to pray for a specific coworker and she told me her name and I actually remembered that name. Every few weeks, I ask her how so-and-so is doing. She's an unsaved person and she's praying for her to get saved, to have the opportunity to talk to her about church and the Lord. It's a blessing to me because when I ask her, her eyes light up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They feel loved because you care enough to follow up about those things.
Right. And a lot of times we do pray for the people. Mm-hmm. But I think if you go that extra step and say, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you, I think that just means a lot more. That encourages them.
One of the people that I contacted asked how those that work during the day can get more involved in our ladies' daytime activities. We have a weekly, they call it Christian Ladies Fellowship in our church, and it's a weekly ladies get together and they do different things. They help out in the different ministries. They go doing visits. Sometimes they have a prayer meeting and I can't go all the time. I've gone a few times when I can, but how can some of the ladies in our church, and if you're listening and you don't go to Emmanuel Baptist Church and you go to another church, and you work full time, sometimes it's frustrating because you want to be involved in everything. I'm that kind of person that I feel like if there's something going on at church that I'm supposed to be at, I want to be there. And it's frustrating because you have to have a balance in life. But if you have a daytime thing like we do, what is a way that those ladies can be more involved in the activities at church?
I love this ministry. This is a ministry that my husband and I had prayed about for years about starting. And we were looking for the right person to start it. I think everyone would agree that Miss Erin Montgomery is perfect for it. Mm-hmm. And she does such a wonderful job with the ladies. And when we started this ministry, we knew that it wouldn't be convenient for everyone. Anyone that works is not going to be able to come. Mm-hmm. But I wanted the ladies that are not working. We have a lot of senior citizens that have retired. Mm-hmm. It gives them something to do during the week. They look forward to it. It gives them a place to feel involved, to serve. And then we have a lot of young mothers who stay at home with their young kids, and this is a time to get out of the house and go be with other adults. It's a great ministry. And I know that if you can't be involved in it, there are ladies that feel left out. Weekly, Erin Montgomery sends out a email about what the ladies are going to do the next week in the ladies fellowship meeting. And if you're not on that email list, then, you know, just let her know and she'll add you to it. And then see if there's a way you can be involved in whatever their activity is for the week. For example, many times they write letters to missionaries' wives. Maybe you can write a letter and give it to her at church and she can add it with the other letters. And that's a way to feel involved. She does care packages. You can bake something when you're home in the evenings and bring it to her and she can add it to the care packages.
Yeah, because they do visits to like shut-ins and people that can't make it.
So obviously you can always send money to help with the different needs and that can be a way to feel a part. Sometimes they clean at the church or they'll work on different projects. And what you probably feel like you're missing out on is not only serving, but getting to serve with a friend. That makes it fun.
Oh, yeah.
And I know these ladies look forward to getting together each week, not only to serve, but the fellowship.
Yes.
Find maybe another lady in the church that is in the same situation as you. They wish they could go and that's not something they can do. And maybe the two or three or however many you get together, you can come clean the bathrooms in a time that's convenient for you and you feel like you're serving. Maybe you can make a visit. Visits can be made more than just on Tuesday mornings.
Yeah.
So I think it's just finding a place where you can feel like you're serving and helping, but then see if you can get someone to do it with you. It's always fun to get to serve the Lord with other people.
I know that's one of the things I like about helping a nursery once a month is I get to spend time with these ladies that I don't normally get to talk to because we're all so busy and we're all in different ages and stages of life too.
Right.
But sometimes I enjoy kind of gleaning that wisdom. Like last month I was in there with Mrs. Pettis. And so I was just picking her brain.
Everyone has a story.
Yes.
Everyone has wisdom. And I've been in this church for 27 years now, and I'm still learning about people. And I just love hearing their testimonies. And I think these times of fellowship help us draw closer to each other. And maybe you just have lunch with some of the ladies that can't be part of the meeting and that's your time of fellowship. But it's a great ministry for those that can go, but there are other ways that if you're not able to be there, you can still feel involved.
Another question that came in was, what is your favorite Bible verse and why?
My favorite verse has always been Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. I love that verse all through high school. I remember even on my senior graduation card, we were allowed to kind of personalize them a little bit. And I put that verse. I think it's just a verse that goes with every situation that you're going to face, that we just can't trust what we think and know. We have to trust the Lord. And if we will trust the Lord and do what the Bible says and follow our counsel and do the best we can, he's going to direct our paths and we're going to end up where we need to be. Every situation I've come to in life, if I apply that verse, it gives me the right direction, keeps me on the right path.
That was also Mrs. Beverly Hiles' life verse.
And so I did not know that when I picked it.
Yeah, but you're in good company, I guess.
Yes.
So now that we know your favorite Bible verse, what is your favorite passage from the Bible that you read to maybe find encouragement when life is heavy?
I love the book of Psalms. I will just start at the beginning and read as long as I can through many of the different trials that have come into my life. That's where I find myself getting the most comfort. I love the scripture writing passages that the Ladies Fellowship is doing right now. When I was sitting in the hospital rooms with Amanda, I would find myself opening Psalms and just reading it over and over again. And then I finally went and got a notebook. And just every time a verse really popped out at me, I just wrote it in that notebook. So then when the next challenging time came, I would just open that notebook and the verses were one after another of the ones that really, really spoke to me. I can't read the book of Psalms without leaving encouraged.
Yeah.
Just seeing the humanity of David and just knowing that we all have these struggles and we all have our ups and downs.
I think David is such a relatable person because, you know, in the beginning of the chapter, he'll be like, Lord, help me. I'm too weak. I can't do this. And by the end of the chapter, he's like, slay my enemies.
Yes. And that's exactly how it is. You go to read it when you close that Bible, any place in Psalms, you just leave so encouraged that the Lord's got this.
Yeah.
He can handle this. So I would definitely say pick up the book of Psalms.
Yes, I agree. I know that we might have covered it in the episode that you did earlier last season with me. And we talked a little bit about your testimony. Recently, you have endured a battle with cancer and you are cancer-free now, but that's a scary time to go through. I want to say February 2021, you found out you had cancer.
Yes.
And you went through chemo. Yes. Did you do radiation too?
I did.
Okay.
I did.
And you always had such a positive attitude. And I know you probably didn't always feel like that on the inside, but at church, you just look like you're on top side. But I know that a lot of the encouragement that you got came from the church family. And, you know, it comes from the Bible too, but
I was reading Psalms a lot.
But your church family, I'm sure, was a big part of it. Yeah. Name some things that people in the church did for you that helped you through that time, that scary time, through treatment and recovery and all of that.
I can't imagine going through that journey without a church family. Mm-hmm. We know church family is important, but when they step in like they did for us, you just really mm-hmm. see the benefits of it. Besides all the prayer, which I know I just felt from the beginning, it's hard because when you're sick like that or you go through something medically, a lot of times it pulls you out of church. Mm-hmm. I was not able to go to church because of the chemo and because I was weak or sick, and you need church more than ever. Mm-hmm. So thankful we had live stream at that time. And it's easy to feel disconnected because you go from church being your life all the time and you're opened up to this new world of doctors, but people keeping in touch through text, so many cards I received of people praying for me, and I felt the prayers. And we have a lady in our church that's going through cancer right now, and she told me that, and I know what she means 100%. As soon as everybody found out and started praying for her, she felt the difference.
Yeah.
When you go through something like that, you don't go through it alone. Your family goes through it. And I think people loving on pastor during that time, on my children. I had teenage daughters, one that was about to graduate high school, one that just got married, one that was in junior high. They were scared. You know, you hear cancer and that's a scary word for even an adult, much less a young person. And just the people checking on them and making sure they were okay and giving them a person to talk to, besides the meals and the gifts, and then just making sure we had everything we needed. I think it's just reaching out. When you get cancer, your world stops in many ways. Everyone else's world still goes on. They love you and they're concerned, but they're still caught up in their everyday activities, whereas yours completely change.
Yeah.
So just people remembering what you're going through at this point and sending the cards and the messages and the flowers and the, what can I do to help you? It just, it meant so much. And then now I look at that trial that I went through and I'm so thankful for it in many, many ways. It reminded me of a lot of things that are important in life and things that aren't important. And I have to say that since then, there's been a few ladies in the church that have had cancer scares, or, you know, it might be cancer. And I just feel like being able to relate with them, I understand what they're going through. I think it helps them and it helps me too. I know that the Lord can use my story and their story for good one day.
I know a lot of people feel like they're being a bother. You've been on both sides now, and it's easy to say, do you need anything? No, I'm fine. But what's the best way to help? If that's the answer you get, you still want to help.
I think, first of all, a text message is never a bother. I'm so glad we have text. I think it's the best, because who knows if they're in treatment right now or if they're sleeping. But text messages, they can read when it's convenient for them. So when you're thinking of someone, send them a text. It's so much better than a phone call. Phone calls are like, oh, I don't want to bother them right now.
Yeah.
But send them messages. The big thing is just not feeling forgotten. Just hearing from their friends and family that they're not forgotten is such a big deal. There are ladies that are just more private. I was one of those ladies. People would offer, hey, you know, I want to come clean your house. And I'm thinking, oh, I don't have the energy to clean before you come clean, you know? So I know that all the intentions were good, and every lady is different. Some ladies need the help cleaning. I think meals is a big thing, especially with cancer. You don't, if you're going through chemotherapy, you do not have the energy to cook, but your family still has needs. If you're the one with cancer, this is something I had to learn too, is people need to do for you because they love you. And so let people do for you. You don't have to be independent and I can do it all. Maybe you need to let them do it because they need the blessing from doing it. So find out what works for you and what people can do to help you. let those people do that for you.
It's funny you say that. Years ago, this is when I had my cleaning company, and your mother-in-law was going through one of her health issues at the time. And I kept asking her, will you please let me come clean your house? Will you please let me come clean your house? And she was a very private person. And for the longest time, she kept saying no. And finally, I went and asked her father-in-law. And I was like, I want to be a blessing, and she will not let me have a blessing.
Yes.
And he got in the middle of it. And then I want to say, you know, I'd go there probably every 2 weeks or something like that. And it was such a nice time, because when she'd be home, I'd just pick her brain and ask her just random questions and just glean that wisdom from her. And maybe 6 months in or something like that, she goes, I'm so glad you come and clean. It's just such a blessing and such a help to me. And I was like, see, and I'm getting a blessing too.
Right. When you get pulled out of the church for a while, and it's actually happened to me several times, because I was one of those few ladies that got extremely sick while I was pregnant and could hardly do anything. So I would go a couple months without being able to go to church because I was in bed. There was that time. And then there was the time with Amanda that I was kind of homebound with her. And then the cancer time. And the more you're away from people, you forget how much you need people. Mm-hmm. And it's very easy to retreat. You need to let people come in, not just to do for you, but the fellowship. You need to stay connected to people. Because sadly, there's people I know that something happened in their life where they were out for a while and they just completely shut everybody off and they never came back from it and left church altogether.
Yeah. And really, honestly, I've been there, and, you know, you're kind of struggling with life in general and you're a little down in the dumps and you're like, I don't want to go anywhere. And then you get to church and you're like, I'm so glad I came. I needed this. Sometimes you just need to get loved on by your church family. That makes a big difference.
I have never drugged myself to church and regretted it.
Yes.
Never.
I'm
going to
quote that. I'm going to put that in your quote book.
Thank you.
Oh. You know, talking about your mother-in-law, and if you don't know her mother-in-law, Miss Becky Neal was a pastor's wife for 35 years, 40 years, something like that. Ish.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, she was such an amazing lady, and the Lord took her home about a year and a half ago, kind of unexpectedly. I want to say she struggled with her health for the last maybe 10 years of her life. She was up and down, but we all knew and loved her in different ways. After she passed away, we would all share our memories of Mrs. Neal. She had such a unique personality because she had a different type of relationship with all these people.
Right.
For some people, she was like their other mom.
Right.
For some people, she was like their friend. For some people, she was like that person on the pedestal. So that being said, do you have any particular memories of your mother-in-law that are really special to you?
Well, I had the privilege of having many relationships with her as far as she was my pastor's wife. She was my mother-in-law, my mom number two, as we called each other. And she was my friend. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw this question, favorite memory of your mother-in-law. And of course, there's just so many memories. And they're all my favorites at this point. But I think if I had to talk about her, what I miss the most, my memory of her, is her spirit. Mm-hmm. Incredible lady. And if you were around her, you knew it. You can't even put it into words. She just always had a spirit about her, a positive spirit, not a negative spirit, even through her health problems and stuff. One of the most unselfish ladies I know, always thinking of others. She'd just make you laugh, her infectious laugh, especially when she was tired and she'd get into, she couldn't stop giggling. I just miss her spirit. I miss her, you know, even at our family events, we just miss her spirit. Mm-hmm. Always grateful, thankful. She was a huge cheerleader for Pastor. And I know he misses her in that area. My girls and myself too. Like you mentioned, the last 10 years, her health took her out of a lot of things. And that was hard for her. She was a go-getter.
Very involved, yes.
And so we'd come see her and we'd have to catch her up on everything that was going on. She wanted to know how everyone was doing. And you just couldn't get around her and be negative or discouraged. So I would say the thing I miss the most is her spirit.
Yeah.
And in that, I have to remind myself, I'm not her. Yes. I wish I could be. Yes. I wish I had her spirit. I try to do the things that I know that kept her spirit right.
Yeah.
But no one can replace her. She was one of a kind. Anyone that knew her was better for it.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I would like people to say about me one day.
Yeah.
So.
I already got your quote for your.
Oh, yeah. What was it again?
I've never drugged myself to church and regretted it.
There you go. What a deep thought.
Yeah. One question that came in multiple different forms, and I think that we've all been here in life, so it's a relatable question, but how do you personally handle betrayal, whether it came from a family member or a friend or an acquaintance or a church member? How do you handle that?
Well, unfortunately, if you are in church for any length of time, you're going to see that people come and go. There's many different reasons. I have felt the sting of betrayal, mm-hmm. as many others have felt it through the years. I'm just going to share what has helped me, and hopefully it'll help someone out there. I don't dwell on it. That's the big mm-hmm. thing. There's certain things we can control and certain things we can't. And when it's a situation that we can't control or change or do anything about it, dwelling on it, fretting about it, worrying about it, talking about it to other people besides the Lord, it's not going to change anything. Mm-hmm. And in my case, just made me more upset about it. So what I like to do is, if someone leaves the church under not so wonderful circumstances, I choose to not fellowship with them mm-hmm. anymore. And you say, well, of course they left the church, but fellowship is in so many different forms. Mm-hmm. I don't follow them on social media anymore. You say, well, why do you do that? Is it because you hate them? Because you don't like them? No. If I loved you and if you were my friend before, you're still my friend and I still love you now. Your choices might make it where I can't fellowship with you, but I don't want to see the changes. I want to remember mm-hmm. the people for who they were when they were part of my life. Mm-hmm. So, and I've personally shared this with some people who have asked me this question, and they all seem to think that it really helps, is just, I want to remember the good. Mm-hmm. The Lord brings people into your life and he removes people. And just because someone maybe is not doing now what they used to do doesn't mean you can't remember the good times. Mm. There's people that shaped my life and helped me get to where I am today that no longer even go to church. But I don't dwell on the fact that they don't go to church now. I think about what they did for me when they helped me. I have to protect my spirit, and all of us have to do that. And all of us can handle things differently. Some of us can handle more than others, but I have to find what works for me. And what works for me is not knowing how they've changed and just
disconnect.
Mm-hmm. And again, people think, well, that's so cruel. You're so mean to not follow them on social media. No, I don't want to have negative thoughts.
Right.
If I see someone who's changed what they believe or put something out there that's questionable to me, I don't want to dwell on that.
Right.
I don't want to think about that. I want to remember the good. I will just disconnect from them and I have no hard feelings then. I don't have to fight the bitterness, and that protects me. Now, if someone leaves because they move or they go into the ministry somewhere else, I will follow them as long as we would be fellowshipping together. If mm-hmm. things change later in the future, then I'm just going to have to disconnect from you. I think that's a perfect word.
Yes.
Disconnect from you for my spirit. And honestly, in the end, it ends up working out better. And then I like to think of it too, is if those people ever come back into our fellowship, I don't know what
happened. There's no scorecard. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We just pick up where we left off. Pastor preaches about this all the time. You can love people and not fellowship with them. Mm-hmm. There's people that I do not fellowship with anymore that I truly love. And I miss them. Mm. But I also know that when the Lord removes people from your life, he brings new people in. Mm-hmm. So fill the void. If you lost a good friend, go find another friend. Go be that friend to somebody else.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is just not dwelling on it and protecting your spirit. Mm-hmm. I don't discuss it with anyone else. I don't talk about it with anyone else. I don't have to make it everybody, this is what, you know, it's just, this is just the way it is.
And I say it kind of tongue in cheek, like I'm doing this for my mental health.
Yes.
But really it's for my spirit.
Preacher said this statement long time ago, and I know other people have said it too, but your mind is the devil's. I've heard it, playground and battlefield, you know,
or but workshop.
Yeah. And the Bible talks about our being careful what our eyes see. Mm-hmm. And boy, our phones have opened up things that we can see, and seeing through social media and through the internet, things that we just shouldn't see, and things about people. Yes. I just have to protect that. If I don't see it, I don't think about it.
Exactly.
And every time I disconnect with somebody, then I don't have to see it. So I don't have to dwell on it.
There's goods that come from social media, being able to be connected, but there's also bads, because God will remove people from your life, but we hang on through technology, that sometimes those people are not meant to still be in our life because God has removed them.
Right.
But because we love and we don't know how to break off that connection, that our paths crossed at one time, but now they're not together. Why are we still trying to make a bridge?
Right. You can love them without following them.
Yes.
And you just have to protect yourself.
Yes.
Once you see it, you can't forget it too. So
we have so many people to go have relationships with that God has in our lives right now. And so many people that we can love. But am I going to be distracted by this other that isn't here, but I can go be a friend to that new church right. member that really needs a friend?
Right.
I may be forfeiting it because I'm so mentally focused on something else.
Right. The big key here is you can still love. Mm-hmm. You can still pray for, mm-hmm. but you don't have to be connected.
Yes.
And you don't have to fellowship. If people will draw the lines they need to draw. And the only thing you should be looking at is things that are going to encourage you, mm-hmm. that are going to draw you closer to the Lord. That's the key for me.
Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of an age gap between you and me, but we're not going to talk about that. But you are the
I know you're older, Tracy.
In spirit. We've been friends, but I've always kind of looked up to you as like you've already done that thing in life that like I'm getting close to. And like you have a big broad spread between your kids. I think what it's like five years.
It's 5 years, then 4 years. So oh, yeah. Almost 10 years yeah. between oldest and youngest.
So your youngest and my oldest are the same age, like within a couple of months of each other. Your husband calls them the sister frenemies. Yes.
They're friends today, though.
Yes. But they're good for each other because they're very different.
Yes. They are opposites.
Yes. And they challenge each other to be better humans.
Yes.
So they've grown up together. And I know we've had lots of talks about child rearing and dealing with the drama of girls. And I only had one. So you had three. So you had much more drama than I did.
Yes.
It's probably still do.
My poor husband.
I know. Bless his heart. And like he always jokes that even the animals are yes. girls.
We finally got one boy pet.
Yeah.
The cat. But it has been girls through the years.
And does he like this cat?
He does. They bond. Okay. They have male bonding
Maybe
time.
He's just like out of desperation.
Yes.
Years ago when the girls were little, and I think I was lamenting to you, one thing that you said to me really helped me cope with both of my children in knowing that they're different. My kids are very different people. The one thing that you told me, dealing with your children's personality, some of the times the things that make them who they are, that you get annoyed at are the same things that make you who you are.
Right.
That are your own weaknesses.
Right. I think the biggest thing I have learned in all of my child rearing years mm-hmm. or in talking with other people is children are not perfect mm-hmm. and do not expect them to be. I mean, we say to each other, oh, I don't expect my children to be perfect, but our actions say differently. Mm-hmm. We want them to be the nicest, never to be rude. I mean, always to look their best, to get the best grades. And I mean, those are things that were hard for us to do when we were their age. Our children have to be children. They need to make mistakes. They need to learn. They need to grow. And we need to allow them to do that while they're children. They need to be making these mistakes and learning and growing at the age they're at instead mm-hmm. of being thrown into the world one day. And mom and dad's not there to tell them what to do. I've noticed with my girls, you know, I have three girls.
Three very different personalities.
I was just going to say, and I don't mm-hmm. even know how to describe them. They are all so different. I remember after we had the first two, and I was pregnant with the third one, found out it was a girl. I was like, I wonder which one she's going to be like. You know, is she going to be like Alyssa? Or is she going to be like Anna? And then Addie came, and Addie is her own being.
Baby pastor.
She's nothing like, yes, she's my husband. That's definitely, she's so different than the other ones. But I noticed that some of the frustrations that I seemed to be having with my girls were things that were insecurities in my own life. Mm. I was a people pleaser, worried about what people thought. While I'm harping or discussing with my children, mm-hmm. don't be a people pleaser. You know, we're preaching or teaching to our kids, don't do this. And inside we're thinking, that was me. But I also had to go through that and learn how to handle that at their age. So they need to learn how to handle it at their mm-hmm. age. But basically just not passing on our personal issues onto our children. Mm-hmm. That's a thing I feel like I see a lot when talking to people and counseling them about their children, is them just so afraid of, well, this was what I dealt with. Well, don't make it an issue for your child. I think an example of this is I hate to fly. Hmm. Hate to fly. I will do it when I need to, But one day I heard Addison, when she was younger, she's probably like 5 or 6, telling people she was afraid to fly. Well, she'd never even been in an airplane. But obviously, I was passing on without knowing my fear to my daughter. Mm. And they're all going to have issues. They're all going to have different issues. Don't be upset at them for having issues. Help them work through their issues.
Mm-hmm. And one last question. You have a daughter who's married and a new grandson.
Yay, little Anna. Jack.
He's adorable. And this is for me for the future. I'm taking notes right now. Okay. Having a child marry and then move away, and now you have grandkids that live away.
Right.
And I'm sure you know how far it is to drive there to the minute.
10 hours.
Give a little advice to those moms coming up, or moms that maybe have the same situation, of how to step back and let your daughter or your son have their own family.
Well, the thing that has helped me the most here is going back to the realization that I love my life and I am happy and I feel blessed because I'm in the center of God's will for my life. Mm-hmm. And I want what I have for each of my children. Now there's my will for them. My will is that they lived right next door and I could go see that grandbaby every day, all day long, as much as I want.
8 o'clock in the morning, exactly. You're standing at the front door.
Maybe not 8, but I would come around 10, give it back about 5. That's good hours for me. But I want that for my children. Mm-hmm. And for them to be happy and to have the blessings, they're going to have to be in the center of God's will for their life. Mm-hmm. Whether she's 10 hours away or if she was right next door, I love them. I'm proud of them. I just have to realize that the Lord has a plan for them. When the Lord gave these girls to me, he did not expect me to keep them. I was a caretaker for a while. Mm-hmm. They have just as much of a purpose for the Lord as my life has for the Lord. And they have a family to build and they have a church to help, or wherever that may be. I try to think also positively, okay, yes, they're 10 hours away, but they could be 20 hours away. Mm-hmm. They could be across the country in a different country. I could have to fly to get to them, and mm-hmm. I hate to fly. So there's bonuses all along. But I think the big thing is just realizing that they deserve to have what I have. And I had to leave my family to come here. I never thought I wanted to leave California. I loved California. Mm-hmm. And that was a long time ago, but I loved California and the Lord gave me a life here that I wouldn't change for the world. So as long as they're in the center of God's will, and then as a mom and as a protector, I know that's the safest place for them. It's safer for her to be 10 hours away from me where she's supposed to be than to be in my backyard with me standing watch over her. And that's something I had to learn even as the kids were young and still in my house.
Mm-hmm. I know it's easier said than done.
Oh, it is. It's a lot easier said than done. Addison was grilling me in the car on the way over here. And one of the questions was something like, what is the best thing about your kids or raising kids? What is the worst thing about raising kids? It was some kind of question like that. And I was like, well, the worst thing is Addie, you know? And she's like, oh, very funny, Mom. I said, well, I guess probably the worst would be letting go. You know, like seeing Jack and holding little Jack this past week, I got to go see him and I'm sitting there holding him. It's hard to even remember Alyssa at that stage. Mm. It's such a fun stage, but I'll never go back to that stage mm-hmm. with them. So moving on from stages, there's a sadness to it, mm-hmm. but I try to look forward to what's ahead. Mm-hmm. For example, grandkids.
Yeah.
This is a new stage. She doesn't live here. She's not in my home, but wow, it's fun to go visit that grandkid and love on him. And to see my daughter be a mom is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
That I think has probably caught me off guard. I didn't really think about that. I just thought about having a grandbaby.
Yeah.
But I didn't think about my daughter turning into a mother.
Yeah.
And seeing her immediately become a mom. You can just tell that's what God has for her, mm-hmm. to see her step into that role so naturally. And it's amazing. It's very fulfilling. Mm. I'm really grateful for all my girls. I look forward to seeing what the future holds for all of them. Hopefully, maybe a little bit closer. 10 hours hopefully is the furthest away. But I know that I don't want them to be unhappy. Mm-hmm. And I want them to be right in the middle of the Lord's will. And we got to let them go sometimes.
Okay, last question.
Oh, you said that last time.
I know. It's okay, because my pastor always says one more thing and then I'm done.
That is true.
So I've only learned it from the greats.
Okay.
If you were going to tell someone to listen to this podcast.
Okay.
Which episode would you tell them to listen to?
Mine, of course. Oh, I don't know. There's been so many good ones. One of the things I really like about this podcast is the variety. Sometimes it's a lesson, you know, taught by you, which are some great lessons that deal with, you know, a lot of us ladies deal with. I like the question and answers you've done with different people. I love the episodes where Abigail tells stories of women of the past and how they use their life for the Lord. So, wow, that's a hard one.
You're supposed to say pastor's episode.
Oh, okay. The pastor's episode was my favorite.
There you go.
Of course. How could I forget that? It was just so amazing. I forgot.
Well, thank you for coming on the podcast today. And one day we'll have you back. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but we'll take requests on the social media and see what people say.
Scary. But yes, it will be fun. We'll be back. Thank you, Tracy.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Abundant Living Podcast, be sure to subscribe in your favorite podcasting app so that you are notified when a new episode is posted. Please rate and review this podcast and share it with your friends. For more helpful content, be sure to check out our website, ChristianLadiesFellowship.com. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you're leaving with some great things that will help you to live more for the Lord, make amazing Christian friends, and serve the Savior every day. Let's go show the world just how abundant the Christian life can be. Until next time.